I mean, if you go down out by High Street, I guess it does feel like a little English town, and you probably see a higher percentage of elderly people, and you might have a gentleman shake his walking stick at you if you're driving too fast down
But he'll be
that
so polite about it that you won't mind. Welcome to Women's Wealth Canada. I'm Glory Gray. Today, we're continuing our series called Beyond the City Lights, Healthy and Wealthy in a Small Town. Last episode, we had a chat with Karen Kenyon, a Central Vancouver Island realtor. Karen talked about how there has been a shift of people working from anywhere rather than centralized urban offices and moving out to more rural areas like Central Vancouver Island. But maybe Central Vancouver Island and other Canadian small towns are a little too rural for you. Maybe you'd prefer to live in a small city with a population closer to 300,000, like the Greater Victoria region of Southern Vancouver Island. If you're looking to move to the Victoria area specifically, or even if you're looking at other small Canadian cities, you're in luck, because today we'll be talking to career and life transition coach Sue Maitland. Sue is originally from London, England, and lived in Ottawa before making the move to Victoria 2 decades ago. She's developed a unique offering through her personal relocations discovery coaching packages, offering support before or after people transition to a new life. Her free Insider's Guide to Moving to Victoria, British Columbia workshop has been particularly popular. It's like having your own networking maven guide you through the professional and personal ins and outs of Victoria, so you can hit the ground running after you move. Sue and I had lots to talk about, so let's head over and get right to our conversation. Why'd you fall in love with the area of Victoria?
Well, to be honest, I fell in love with Victoria before I'd even seen it.
Oh, yeah.
My husband had been sent out to Victoria to write a proposal for the BC government, and I was in Ottawa, and I was shoveling snow from the driveway, and he was sitting outside drinking a latte and really enjoying the scenery. And while he was there, I said to my son, who was 2 at the time, you know, Alex, I think we ought to be where Daddy is. And so when Daddy came home, I had a conversation with him. My parents were in England, his were in Montreal, and we used to see them once a month. So it was a big thing to think about moving to the West Coast. But he was up for it. So I said, okay, that's it. We're going to do this before next winter. And right. We did. And I think remember that when we came out with a goal of getting a job. I booked a week's vacation. That's what we told our company it was. And I called all the consulting companies, the IT, we were in IT consulting, both of us, and told them, my husband and I are moving to Victoria. And we'll either be working with you or the competition. Would you like to meet us? It was a bit bold.
Well done, you.
It was bold, but it showed our intention that we were serious and everybody wanted to meet us. We had a bit of a surprise, though, because we discovered there that, you know, yeah, they all wanted to meet us, and a lot of them would love to hire us, but they couldn't because they had just hired someone like that 6 months ago, or they just didn't have an opening. So we realized it was a very different marketplace than Ottawa, where probably either one of us could have had 2 or 3 job offers should we have wanted to move. So, you know, we had to think about that, but I'm glad we did. We waited up and we still decided it was right for us. It was a quality of life decision. And of course, I fell in love with downtown. It's very picturesque. I hadn't realized how important it was for me to be close to the water. I love the fact that we're surrounded by ocean with over 90 beaches here in Victoria. Little beaches, some of them big beaches, you know, but that you can get to the water. And for me, it's like, it's the perfect size city. It's not too big, but we've got everything that we need. And if we need a bigger city, we can go off and we can take the ferry or take a seaplane or whatever and get over to Vancouver or Seattle and get our fix.
Yeah.
As I say, it is a big decision, you know, to make. And we didn't do it lightly. We didn't just fall in love and say, that's it, we're going. We had to talk about the job situation. We thought about that. We researched the cost of housing. And at the end of the day, we weighed it all up and we said, this is right for us. So I think a lot of people just fall in love and move. And then they go, oh, that's, This is not what I expected. So I think it is, you have to recognize that it is a big stressor in life. Moving is one of the biggest stressors in life. And so doing your research before you get here is a good thing. So anyway, perhaps what I should explain is what I do as a coach. So I'm not a consultant. I don't come and tell you what you should do. It's really all about, because I'm partnering with my clients to get their own answers, to really feel confident, just as my husband and I did, that it was the right move for them. And I don't bring opinions or judgments. I do share information through my seminars and workshops. But at the end of the day, I ask you really important questions so that you can really know what it is that's important to you right now and whether this move is a good move for you. I want people to have a successful move. And the other challenge, of course, when we're doing any big life change is we have friends and relatives and they want to help. They want to give us their advice. And the downside to that, of course, is that they're giving their advice through their lens, through their view of the world, their beliefs, their values. And they may not intend to influence you, but that underneath, it's really hard to stay completely neutral when somebody you really care about is looking to do something big. Yeah. So that's the beauty, I think, of working with a professional coach is that I don't come with those biases. I don't come with trying to convince you to do one thing or the other. It's just helping you get your own answers and being really clear on what you want. And that's empowering.
And they have the benefit of you are dealing with many, many people in this exact situation, whereas the people who love them aren't dealing with this on a professional level every day, you know.
Exactly. But I realized that there is a whole segment of people who have moved to Victoria and are making a significant change. Some of them actually decide to become entrepreneurs. We're a city full of entrepreneurs. Some of them want to make a completely different career change. Some are transitioning into retirement. But all of them want to find people and find connections here that makes Victoria start to feel like home for them. And I realize that it can be difficult. There are lots of places to meet people, but it's finding those places where the people you want to connect with are that can be the challenge. Mm-hmm. And that was where it was 2017, I first created something called it used to be called What You Need to Know About Moving to Victoria, but now it's called An Insider's Guide to Moving to Victoria. And I offer it every month. It's completely free. And the goal really was to give people valuable information, whether they've just arrived or they're thinking about moving here, so that they can go do that research and reach a conclusion about, you know, is this right for us? And what do we need to do to set ourselves up for success? I don't know how many hundreds of people have now been through that workshop with me. And now, of course, with COVID, I ended up putting it online. And mm-hmm. that was a great move. And I will continue to do that, actually, because that means I can reach more people before they get here. I used to do it live in Victoria. And now it's virtual and I'm going to stay virtual. So,
and that makes total sense because they can be, you know, maybe they discover that, maybe this isn't the best move for us to move to Victoria. And this way they can know ahead of time rather before they meet you and they find what they can about the city. And they say, you know, it probably isn't the best, but we're here now.
Yes, exactly. So what do we do? Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I love doing that. I've actually had people join me from the Dominican Republic.
Wow.
In fact, that the lady from the Dominican Republic came to one of my workshops, my networking workshop, and she's not physically here yet, but she's coming. She's studying at Royal Roads and she'll be moving here. And she's already started to network with groups here on the island before she's even arrived in Victoria, which is really cool to be able to do that. I've had people from Mexico City, the US, of course, across Canada. So for me, I probably won't be going back to the in-person for that seminar because it's just greater reach. So it's been a positive outcome from what we've had to deal with the, mm-hmm. you know, being stuck at home, for a while.
I mean, meeting all these people in all these different places, what do you personally find fulfilling about the coaching that you do?
Well, I love meeting people. I am a people person. But also for me, it's really kind of hard to explain how fulfilling it is for me. I had a whole other life before this. I was in information technology for 20 plus years. I won't say how many, 20 plus, wearing many different hats. And although I was viewed as successful, I can't say I ever woke up in the morning excited to get out of bed and you know, go to work. And then 8 years ago, I realized I had been thinking about becoming a coach somewhere down the road. And then my dad was diagnosed with a terminal illness, actually. And I didn't, and my company wanted me to do a Western region role, so traveling. And I just thought, no, this is not the time. And maybe it is the time for me to make that leap and train to become a professional coach. And that's really what I did. What I love about it is that I do help people get their own answers. I'm not projecting my solutions. And quite often people have never actually had that kind of sounding board, someone to who isn't trying to convince them of anything, just to help them really get clear on their what they want. And a lot of the times I work with people on their values, like understanding your values, understanding your strengths. Yeah. And I get emails, you know, from people who I've worked with, you know, in the past, a couple of years ago sometimes, and or even longer, and they'll just send me little notes to say, hey, Sue, I just want to let you know this has just happened for me. I wanted to share. Thank you for getting me on this path. Mm. So you know that you've touched people's eyes, even if you just work with them for a short period of time sometimes. That's all it needs for them to go on that path to what it is that they're meant to be doing, living a fulfilled life. So
help me through, take me through this journey that someone would take with you then. So they're sitting maybe in some place and they find your Insider's Guide to Victoria. And then, and by the way, for our listeners, we'll be having links to Sue's website on the episode notes. So then they found that seminar, and then what would be next? If they wanted to
continue. A lot of people, that's just all they need. So there's no assumption that you have to have a next step. But for others, they realize, you know, we do need to do some thinking about this. We do need to really evaluate if this move is right for us. So for them, quite often they'll actually go online and take my What's Important to Me Now workshop, which is a priority setting workshop that you can, it just takes you through. It's similar to a coaching session in a way, but it's virtual. I'm on video. You stop every so often, fill in forms. But at the end of it, you will have identified what your priorities are at this point in your life. And so by doing that, you can really start to ask questions and evaluate options. I mean, one of the things when I'm talking to people who are thinking of moving here, some of the questions they need to ask themselves are, is spending time with your family very important to you? And so if you choose to move, as we did, from Eastern Canada to the West Coast, how often are you going to see your family? But the other thing is, people will come to visit you in Victoria. So when you move and you say, oh, you got to look us up, be sure you're saying it to the people you want to come look up.
Because they will come.
but we probably didn't see as much of the family as we thought we would. But we were just so happy with our decision. We understood that. And so we'd end up having longer vacations with the family. We'd go back to Montreal, or we'd go to a different place that all the family would come together. I think if you're an introvert, you do have to think about the fact that you're going to be moving to a new city. And if you don't already have some friends here, or even if you do, you're going to want to meet people that you want to connect with. And just because, you know, you have some friends here, doesn't mean their friends are necessarily the ideal friends for you. So I think you need to think about that and recognize that you're probably going to need to get outside your comfort zone a little bit and go meet some new people. And again, that's part of why I mean, the whole Networking for Success workshop came about, because I was telling this to the newcomers and they were looking at me with deer in the headlights look, you know, and I thought, I got to help these people, because I used to hate to network, Glory. I was just horrible.
Really? Now. You're such everybody loves to talk to you. I can't imagine.
I was just horrible. I just felt really uncomfortable. I didn't know how to do it. Didn't know how to make small talk. Didn't even see the value. Now I love it. I absolutely love it. And the best bit for me is actually being able to connect people with other people and resources that can be good for them. So if you're an introvert, you can still, you can still make new connections. You don't have to be someone you're not. And that's basically what I teach in the course, is how to do that, how to go about introducing yourselves. And then also I have a one-on-one with every participant, because they each want something different from their networking strategy. And I help them figure out where to go based on what who they want to meet. So that's important. The interesting thing with that was I developed it for newcomers. It used to be called Networking for Success in Victoria. But as a result of it, I found so many people, actually, the first session, I didn't have a newcomer sitting there at all. In fact, I had someone who was a local who was just starting her own business, and she sat down and she said, I hope this workshop's good, you know, because I've just given up a $1,000 shift to be here. And it was, she was a nurse, I think, and she was a, and she was a weekend shift. It was a Sunday, you know. Anyway, and she was at the top of, anyway, at the end of it, she said, yeah, it was pretty good.
So she was starting a new venture, yeah.
She was starting a new venture, and she needed to network outside of, you know, the hospital environment that she was in. And so I get a mix of people who I would get newcomers, but I'd also get longstanding Victorians who were, due to a change in their life, wanted to expand their group of friends or start a business and meet other people. And then that ended up leading to me being invited to speak to professional associations, and I've spoken at conferences. It's a whole area of my practice that 10 years ago, Glory, I'd have said, if you said, oh, Sue, you're going to be speaking to international conferences and you'll be speaking, teaching people networking, I'd say, you're crazy. I don't like networking. I'm not good at it. And now I've learned to love it. And it's such a valuable skill. If only I had embraced it earlier in my life. It could have just made such a difference. And what's lovely is my last session, somebody in my network bought it for her son, a seat at the workshop. And so it's to have that skill early in life,
yeah,
be able to make those connections, it just, it opens up so many more possibilities. And then I think the other thing I help people with is the job market. So it is a smaller city, as I mentioned, my own experience here. You know, we came with our eyes open. So I will help people get clear on their strengths and the skills that they love to use. So that, and that really helps them kind of prepare for interviews. But again, the networking piece is really big here in Victoria, especially the established businesses like to know. They then like to know you personally through someone who works for them or know someone who knows you. So it's that referral, kind of the hidden job market that can really be challenging if you don't know anyone.
Yeah.
And so I help people with that and help them, you know, to get out there and meet people, even as I say, before they get here. Just like the client I was telling you about who's already connecting before she's even arrived on the island. I have a listing of popular job posting sites, so I provide that to anybody who comes to my workshop who's looking for work. And my advice is do your research, understand the job opportunities here, and understand what the opportunities are for someone with your skill sets. A little tip that I really recommend, if you can, and COVID might have, in a way has helped with this, is maybe you can bring your job with you and work remotely. That's a possibility that now many more companies are open to. And so if you have a good relationship with your company, but you've got this desire to be on the West Coast, you know, maybe it's a conversation that you want to have with them. And then the other thing that I do is I help people understand the culture, because Victoria is a little different. We're very polite, we're very friendly. But getting to that deeper level of connection can take some time. It takes work, you know. And so I think it's important for people to know that. We're not going to invite you home for dinner when we first meet you. And if you invite us home for dinner, we're going to be a little, I think that's a little forward, you know. We don't know. So it's a question of gradually kind of building your friendships and relationships over time. And the key, of course, is finding people who share common interests. So joining a group of some sort that has an interest that you're in is great. If you've got kids, of course, you end up meeting other parents through the school and that kind of thing. But that can be a challenge for a lot of people is finding those groups. So again, that's part of what I share. There are so many places that you can connect with people in Victoria, but it's not always easy to find them.
What are some of the myths, the common myths that people have about the West Coast in general and Victoria in particular?
the cost of living can be a shock for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like there's an assumption that because housing is more expensive, if you're moving from pretty much anywhere other than Vancouver or Toronto, in which case it'll seem a bargain, but for most people, it's more expensive. And so you would assume then that salaries would be higher, wouldn't they, to compensate mm-hmm. for that? No. Mm-hmm. And in fact, salaries generally are lower, 10 to 15 or even 20% lower than other places. Why is that? I mean, part of it, I think, is demand. I was just speaking to someone the other day, and they were posting for an engineering role. They had 200 applicants. For a single position. So people want to be here. People want to live this lifestyle. And so they're prepared to take a little bit of a pay cut in order to do that. Well, there's this standing joke, BC stands for bring cash.
That's right.
So yeah, you can't just land. Like you can perhaps go to a big city with lots of opportunities and you could land and you haven't got a job and, you know, you've got a little bit of money and then, you know, within a week or two, you can get a job and then you're okay, you're off to the races. You have to allow for the fact that it could be months before you actually land a job here in Victoria. Mm-hmm. So you've got to have that cushion when you come. So I think that's important. Another myth is we're full of left-leaning kind of people. We're very green here. There's no question it. The environment is huge in Victoria. But there are also a lot of professionals who work just as hard as anybody else in it. So, you know, it just depends on your lifestyle and your work and what you do. And then the other thing that people used to say is Victoria's for the newlywed and the nearly dead. So the honeymooners and the retirees. And in fact, when we moved, our neighbors told us we were crazy. They said, you're not old enough. You can't move to Victoria yet. And we said, we don't want to wait till we retire. We don't want to live through another 30 winters in Ontario and then move. And besides, we were also concerned that the house prices would continue to rise as they have, and that we potentially may not have even been able to afford to move. We'd waited. So yeah, we do have a slightly higher percentage of seniors here in Victoria than the rest of Canada. But we've also got a lot of young people now choosing to be here. Families, it's a great place to raise children. Also, we're getting a lot of students who come to our schools and universities and choose to, you know, they come to study for a few years and then they fall in love with Victoria and then they want to stay, right?
Yeah.
The other thing, I think another myth is that it's just like England. While it is a little, I mean, we do have the pubs. There's no question. There's quite a lot of pubs. And I think we won the prize. The Irish Times won the prize for the best Irish pub in North America, I think. So we have the pubs and the fish and chip shops, of course, but we've also got other amazing cuisine, you know, West Coast cuisine and, basically cuisine from around the world. So it's not just British. I mean, if you go down Oak Bay High Street, I guess it does feel like a little English town. And you probably see a higher percentage of elderly people. And you might have a gentleman shake his walking stick at you if you're driving too fast down that.
But he'll be so polite about it that you won't mind.
But yeah, so it's not really just like England. We're more West Coast vibe these days, I think. Yeah.
What sort of skills do you find are in demand in Victoria?
Well, there's definitely a strong tech sector here. So for anybody who has those like programming skills, project management skills, you know, a developer, go check out the Viatec job board, VIATEC. That's where most of those IT jobs are posted. But I also have a list of other places as well. But yeah, so that's and these companies will move people to Victoria. So it's something to consider. I mean, people do move around once they've got here to other companies. But yeah, there's definitely a demand there. We have almost 1,000 startup companies in Victoria.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. I mean, I say startup at different stages. They have started out as startups and then some of them, usually within 5 to 6 years, they get to a point where they're actually then bought out by an American company or some other company. Mm-hmm. But yeah, lots of opportunity if you're in tech. Construction skills. So managers, engineers, laborers, lots of need there. And it can be quite challenging for them to fill all those roles. Hospitals, we do have, you know, that slightly older population. And so there are a lot of opportunities there if you are many different openings in hospitals. Caregivers, of course, you can understand, and many seniors here choose to stay home. They don't want to go into a residence, but they need a little bit of help. So if you have the right mindset and you don't mind going and helping these seniors and visiting with them, there's a lot of opportunity there. We also have like an ocean sciences kind of focus for a lot of businesses. And back in the 80s, there were a lot of ocean scientists. So marine engineering, those kind of specialized skills, again, that opportunity exists here if people are interested.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. There were a lot of government grants back in the 80s. And then so businesses started as a result. And we've got a little bit of a hub here. Now, they all serve, most of them serve international clients around the world. But they will bring people to live and work on Vancouver Island. Sales and marketing, there's always opportunity there. Finance, the banks will be hiring. There's a company called BCI, British Columbia Investment Corporation, that is a pension fund. So it's a bit of an anomaly. They're actually physically here in Victoria, as opposed to all the other pension funds, which are in Toronto.
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, quite a few people from Toronto like the idea of moving to Victoria. So they have about 500 employees, I think, at the last.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, it's a big company. And then there's other sort of general work. We've got Epicure here. Epicure they started out making the herbal dips, and now they do all kinds of food and products around that. And then I think their claim to fame is, you know, give us 15 minutes, you know, and we can help you have a good meal, a delicious, healthy meal on the table in 15 minutes. So they have about 250 employees. So it's quite big for Victoria. Those are big numbers, you know. And so they're always looking for help on the warehouse and the packing side as well. And then, of course, there's the BC government, which is probably the biggest employer here. And you can get into the government, but you may start at a more junior role. But I've met a lot of people who started out with this sort of entry level. And within a year or two, they have moved up. And so there's a career path there. I mean, in the past, I would have said tourism. But of course, at this
That's
point
right.
in history, we're,
right.
There's not so much going on there. So that's, so those are the main things. So there is work here. Please don't think there isn't work. And it just may take a little bit longer for you to find that good fit for you. But don't give up on it. It's definitely worth persevering if you're interested.
Yeah, just come with that cushion and that realization. And it would be great if you can work, as you said, from afar and still work with your current employer, but live here on the island. That would be ideal. But
yeah, it's a great start. And sometimes serendipity. I had a client that I was working with who was applying for positions here, and I'd done a bit of work, so I got to know her a little bit. And she applied for a position, and I said, who would you be reporting to? And she looked it up. I said, I know that person. So I just picked up the phone and just said, I just know that you happen to be interviewing. I just want you to know this is, you know, she's, and I was able to say what I knew from my experience with permission, of course, from my client to do that. And she got the job.
Oh, lovely. Well done you.
That's doesn't wonderful. Always happen. I'm not saying it's always, it was just serendipity that I happened to know this person who, so I, you know, so sometimes it can help, but those relationships are important, and they can be the differentiator if everything else is equal and someone knows you and can put in a word, it helps. Yeah.
If you're out there and you're thinking about that, Sue's email is no.
No, I can't guarantee it because I never promised that. I do know a lot of people, but I don't know everybody in Victoria and I can't open every door. But I try to connect people with people that could be a good fit for them and that, and if I can, I'll certainly try to help with introductions and so on.
So what are some final tips, top tips, let's say, for anyone who's thinking about moving to Victoria?
Okay. So my top tips are this. Do take the time to understand what you really want at this stage of your life. You know, that's what my husband and I did. And we waited up and we said, we don't want to wait till we retire. We want to be here now. So ask yourself those questions and then evaluate how that move to Victoria or the West Coast would support those priorities that you've identified are important to you. Do your homework. Research the housing costs. Research the job opportunities. And even consider, I think, coming out and just renting for a while as you check out the different neighborhoods and get a feel for the place. We seem to be obsessed that we've got to buy a house. But, you know, if you can, give yourself permission to come and check it out and rent for a while as you check out options. Do understand the sacrifices that you may be making. You know, what are you having to give up in order to be here? And are you prepared to do that? Bring a positive attitude. Always bring that positive attitude and never, ever, ever compare Victoria negatively to where you lived before.
Certainly not out loud. Use your inside voice.
Exactly. It's, I mean, Victorians love their city and they're very proud of it. And so, you know, it may be true that the art scene in Toronto was so much more spectacular, although frankly, it's very good here in Victoria too. We have, I don't know, six or seven theaters, and we have the ballet, we have also a symphony. So, you know, it's pretty good. But yeah, that's not going to endear you to the locals if you start negatively comparing. So just be aware of that. Just find the things you do like, you know, and tell them about that. And do get to know what's going on locally as well. I think, you know, you can get online, and there's you can see Douglas Magazine online. You can, which is great. It'll tell you about local businesses, and you can get you can go online at Victoria Buzz. There's all kinds of Facebook pages. And one of my clients who's moving here, she goes to something called You Know You're From Victoria When on Facebook. I don't know if you know this one.
No, tell me.
You Know You're From Victoria When. And what it is, it's not, no selling allowed. It's just pictures. It's just pictures of Victoria. And we have some amazing photographers here, and we have some incredible scenery. And so she just basically says, Sue, if I've had a tough day, I just go on to, you know, where you're from Victoria when I get my little 5-minute break and my fix. And it's almost as though I'm in Victoria and I know that I'm going to be there. So, you know, it's a cool resource. And if you really want to be here, just make a plan, like make a plan and then take the leap. I did it 30 years ago and I have never once regretted my decision.
Victoria is one of the most alluring cities, and change can be scary, right? But with you as their partner, I know that our listeners considering moving here will face the change with confidence.
I would love to help you. Yeah, if you're interested, even if we just have a conversation on the phone and you come to my complimentary information session, it will give you great information. So many people have said to me, oh, I wish I'd met you when I first got here, or even before I got here. So yeah, just do it. It's worth investing the time, and you'll be able to come more prepared and just confident in your decision. So yeah, I hope you'll reach out. I really appreciate this opportunity, Glory, to let people know about this, and look forward to hearing from some of your listeners.
I'm grateful for having you join me here and share your experience and all the skills that you have. So thanks so much for joining me today, Sue.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That was career and life transition coach Sue Maitland. I'll leave a link to Sue's website in the show notes. There you'll be able to sign up for her upcoming free workshops and find all her great tips and resources. In our next episode, I'll be back with a new series where we'll talk about the different sources of income you can create for yourself in retirement. As always, our mission is to educate Canada. If this podcast helped you, please tell others about us so we can help them too. Until next time, this is Glory Gray, your personal trainer for financial fitness, telling you to take charge of your finances, plan for the future, but most of all, enjoy today, and bye for now. For more tips, go to our website, womenswealth.ca. That's womenswealth.ca. Links to that site and other resources in this episode are in the show notes. If you have a question you'd like answered in a future episode, or you'd like to get a hold of me, Glory, to schedule a free financial consultation, send us an email at hello@womenswealth.ca.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be construed as investment, tax, or legal advice. It is not an offer to sell or buy, or an endorsement, recommendation, or sponsorship of any entity or security cited. Mutual funds offered through Portfolio Strategies Corporation. Other products and services provided through Glory Gray Wealth Solutions.